The following program is for information purposes only. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of 570 News, its management, or Rogers Communications.
You've got questions. We've got answers. Welcome to Ask the Experts on 570 News. Advice and tips from the people who really know. Now here's your host, Dave Callender.
And thank you for joining us on another edition of Ask the Experts. I'm Dave Callender, and joining me on the show today from the CCLR, the School of Optometry and Vision Science at the University of Waterloo, Dr. Debbie Jones is here. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You're very welcome. Good morning. So I'm Debbie Jones from the Center for Contact Lens Research at the University of Waterloo. I'm also on faculty within the School of Optometry and Vision Science. And within the faculty, I head up the pediatric clinic. In the Center for Contact Lens Research, my main role is a clinical scientist, and in that role, I participate in clinical studies where we look at various contact lenses, we look at different contact lens solutions, we look at all aspects of the contact lens world, and in particular, at the moment, we're looking at contact lenses and children. And that's where my role is, combining my pediatric experience in the main clinic at the School of Optometry and Vision Science and converting that into contact lens research within the Center for Contact Lens Research.
Well, it's fascinating because I know as a child who wore glasses, very, very thick glasses, that I would have loved to have been able to wear contact lenses when I was a kid, but I don't even know if that was an option back then. It certainly is for me now. If I don't have them in, I bump into things. So kids in contact lenses, can children really wear contact lenses, and how old do they have to be?
Yep, they really can wear contact lenses, and there's no age limit anymore. We used to think a child had to maybe be a teenager or had to even be a young adult, or maybe their prescription had to have finished changing. Now we know that children can successfully wear contact lenses really at any age. So we have fit children as young as 6 or 7 with contact lenses and right through to teen years. So no reason at all why a child shouldn't wear contact lenses.
How long have children been able to wear contact lenses?
Really, there's never been a limit, but now with modern contact lens materials, the risks are so much lower than they used to be that we don't worry about fitting children with contact lenses. We have lots of safety nets now. We have daily disposable lenses, for example, so we don't worry about children who perhaps forget to use the right contact lens solution. They just wear a lens, they throw it away. So much more of a safety margin now than there used to be.
Okay, this isn't one of the scheduled questions, but I got to ask, because I know there are adults that I work with who go, oh, contact lenses, I could never touch my eye. Are kids big chickens, or are they just fine? They're like, boop.
You know, the kids are actually very good at handling lenses if they're motivated. The worst ones, the more difficult ones, are actually the adolescent boys. The young teenage boys do tend to have a little bit more of a problem putting lenses in. But with the right instruction and with some patience, you really can get them to successfully wear lenses.
So what are the benefits of wearing contact lenses, both for adults but particularly for children?
For kids in particular, the studies that have been done on kids with contact lenses, one of the big benefits is self-esteem. We've seen that children wearing contact lenses tend to have a better self-esteem. The other main advantage is sport and other activities that kids do. So kids running around the soccer field or trying to put a hockey helmet on find it much easier if they're not restricted by spectacles.
Now, are there any risks to wearing contact lenses?
There are risks to contact lens wear for the whole population, and really the risks relate to not looking after your lenses properly or not following instruction. It's very unusual to get a serious contact lens-related problem if you follow what you've been told by your eye care practitioner.
Now, let's talk about comfort. Are contact lenses, for the most part, comfortable?
Generally, they are. Most people find they can wear contact lenses quite comfortably. There's lots of different types, different materials, different wearing modalities. Some people struggle. There's no question that contact lenses are not for absolutely everybody, but usually people can get at least enough hours to do what they want to do. So even if they're not a very successful wearer, they might be able to wear them for a couple of hours to play soccer or 4 hours to attend a social event.
How long in a day should you wear contact lenses, especially when we're talking about children?
For children, typically we say to keep it to around about 12 to 14 hours. So we encourage them not to make it the very first thing they do when they get up in the morning and the very last thing they do to take them out at night. But there's no reason at all why they can't wear them all the way through their school day and through into the evening.
Now, we already did touch on this about putting them in and taking them out. Is it easy to put them in and out? Does it just require a little bit of training, or?
It does, typically. We actually did a study recently on fitting children with contact lenses, and we found, and it was in line with other studies, that it doesn't actually take any longer to teach a child how to put lenses in and out than it does an adult. Some, yes, struggle, but some adults struggle, and you need a little bit more time, maybe a couple of instruction sessions rather than just one, but usually they get the hang of it.
I would think one of the big stumbling blocks to adopting contact lenses for kids are moms and dads. They just don't think about the fact that my child could wear contact lenses.
Exactly. And I think parents still feel that their child has to be a teenager, or maybe their prescription has to have finished changing. And so as an optometrist, we often recommend lenses, or we just mention it at the outset, just so that they know it's an option. What I encourage my patients is to wait till the child really wants them, because if the parents are forcing the child into lenses because they think it's a good idea, then often you get pushback and it's not successful. If the child really, really wants them, then I think we should give it a go.
Yeah, how big a role is that in the child being motivated to wear them? Because, you know, we can't get our kids to clean their rooms. Are they going to look after contact lenses?
Exactly. It's a huge role. If the child is motivated, they will be successful. The eye care practitioner will explain the risks, the benefits. They will go over how to put lenses in, how to take them out. And generally, children take it very seriously. They understand the benefit of wearing contact lenses, and they understand the risks of not doing as they're told.
Now, I think we've all heard the term myopia and myopia control. What does it actually mean?
So myopia is also called nearsightedness, and it's a simple type of eye correction, which means that if you're myopic, if you have myopia, you don't see clearly in the distance, you see clearly up close. And dependent upon how myopic you are, that determines how blurred things are in the distance. Myopia control, it's a bit of a new buzz expression. It's something that's been looked at across the research world for the last 10 or 15 years, and really is something that's gained a lot of activity in recent years and a lot of interest, and it's a way of trying to slow down the progression of myopia. So somebody who, for example, starts off with a little bit of myopia, and after 10 years the prescription continues to change, and then they end up with very thick lenses, a very strong prescription, probably similar to yourself from what you were saying. We're trying to look at ways of slowing that progression down. So it's not a question of eliminating it. It's about making sure that the prescription is kept to a minimum if we can. So instead of ending up with really thick glasses, maybe you just end up as a moderate myopic prescription.
So how does myopia control actually work then? Oh, was I not supposed to ask that?
Oh, well, there's a good question. Ask me in 3 years and I'll tell you whether we found that it really worked. The theory behind it is the way that the light comes in through the pupil and is focused on the retina. So we know that we need the central light to focus on the back of the retina. That's the bit that we see clearly with. But what happens is the outside of the retina, the peripheral retina, has a certain amount of defocus just by the way the light comes in through the pupil. And what we're looking at is a type of contact lens that changes the way the peripheral light focuses on the retina. And the hope is if we can change the way that peripheral light focuses, then the eye won't be encouraged to elongate. And it's a lengthening of the eye, or actually a physical lengthening of the eye, that makes you more myopic or more nearsighted. So the idea is to try and stop the eye lengthening as much and therefore keep the prescription at a lower level.
Is myopia very common?
It's extremely common, and it's becoming more common. And this is really why there's so much interest. It's actually an epidemic around the world. We've got statistics that, for example, in East Asia, so looking at countries like Taiwan and Singapore, up to 80% of teenagers are myopic. So that's virtually the whole population is wearing spectacles, and the vast majority are myopic. In the U.S. and in Europe, we're looking at around about 30%. And in other countries, it's a little lower. So Australia, for example, is around about 10%. But what we're really interested in is that huge increase over the last few years and to try and really put the brakes on it.
Mm-hmm. How did Australia get off so easy?
That's an excellent question. Maybe a lot of time spent on the beach, I don't know.
Well, then, there you go. You got to spend more time on the beach. My guest today on the show, Dr. Debbie Jones of the CCLR at the School of Optometry and Vision Science at the University of Waterloo. They are located at 200 Columbia Street. And online, you can find them at cclr.ca. You can also call to get more information at 519-888-4539. We're going to take a short break, then we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.
You're listening to 570 News. Time for more of Ask the Experts with your host, Dave Callender.
On the show today, I'm joined by Dr. Debbie Jones of the CCLR at the School of Optometry and Vision Science at the University of Waterloo. And again, that's located at 200 Columbia Street. If you'd like to get more information as you listen to the show, go online to cclr.ca. Before the break, we were talking about myopia and myopia control. Why would we want to slow down the progression of myopia? Are there lots of problems with being very myopic?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and there are. We know that people with high levels of myopia, so when we talk about a high prescription, we typically talk about over a prescription of minus 5, so people that understand their number, they often know how myopic they are. 5 is kind of a magic-ish number. And those with high myopia are much more prone to problems related to retinal changes, so retinal degeneration, retinal detachment, more prone to glaucoma, more prone to cataracts, and other complications. And in fact, in China, high myopia is the second leading cause of low vision and blindness. So it really does have a big impact.
So when you say minus 5, how big do those minuses go?
Well, there's no real limit. You can have people with really high prescriptions. It's very unusual to be minus 20, for example, but it can happen. But it's not uncommon to be minus 5, minus 6. You know, around that range.
All right. Now, this is all new stuff. You said you're not even really going to know for another few years. What have we done in the past to correct this?
Yeah, this has been a subject that's been looked at for a long, long time, and there's been lots of things done. We've fitted children with bifocal spectacle lenses in the hope of changing the way they focus at near. We fit children with rigid contact lenses in the hope that that would change the way the prescription alter or the prescription increased. We've tried different eye drops to relax focusing in the hope that if somebody is more relaxed with their near focusing, the myopia wouldn't progress. All fantastic studies, very well conducted around the world, and really have shown no impact. Mm-hmm. So we're back to baseline with what's the next thing.
Just to share a personal thing, I know when I was a kid, they tried stopping my progression by actually pulling me back a bit and see if it would strengthen my eyes. Guess what that did?
Absolutely nothing.
Headaches. No, I got really great headaches out of it. But I'm glad that we've kind of moved past that and are trying new things for children. So that's really, really wonderful. Now, you, of course, are associated with the Center for Contact Lens Research, the CCLR. How is the CCLR involved in all of this?
So we work on lots of different types of studies, and one of the big areas we're looking at now is myopia in children. So we're about to start some studies early in the new year looking at the different types of contact lenses and how they can affect the progression of myopia. So we're starting one probably January, February time, where we're looking at a soft contact lens, something that changes that peripheral focus we were talking about, and it's a 3-year study. So it's a long-term study to look at how those children progress across those 3 years compared to a comparable group who are wearing a regular contact lens.
And during this study, what is your specific role?
So as a clinical scientist, my role is I'll be one of the investigators actually examining the children, fitting them with contact lenses, taking the measurements, making sure there's no complications associated with the lenses, and basically recording all of the data. And then the data goes back to the sponsor, and then they analyze to see what the effect is. So as a researcher, I won't actually know what contact lens the child is wearing. I won't know really what the difference is between group A and group B. All I will know is what the raw data looks like, and then we send that in for analysis.
Now, for a lot of folks, I think, you know, today, listening to the show, maybe their first time they've ever heard of the CCLR. Can you tell us a bit more about what it is and why it was founded?
So the CCLR is over 20 years old now. It's a contact lens research center, as the name suggests. We don't only do contact lens research, but that is a prime focus of ours. So we do clinical studies. We do trials on contact lenses, new materials, new styles of contact lenses. We might do comparative work where we look at one contact lens versus another. We look at contact lens solutions. And we do some laboratory-based research as well, where we look at cellular changes associated with eye drops, with contact lenses, patients with dry eyes. So we do a whole plethora of research work.
How long have contact lenses been around?
Oh, that's an excellent question. A long, long, long time.
Long before we thought they were probably around, they were being used and studied.
Yes, indeed.
Now, what else can you tell us about today's modern contact lenses? How are they different from the ones our parents would have tried out?
The big differences are the new modern materials. We used to worry about oxygen. We used to worry about, could the eye actually breathe underneath the contact lens? And we don't worry about that anymore. Modern materials have good permeability, so lots of oxygen gets through to the eye, so we don't get the same complications we used to get with contact lenses.
And now I would say that the trend is towards these more daily wear or monthly wear, and then you throw them away. Why have we moved that way?
We've moved that way, again, advances in materials have made production costs such that you can actually have a lens that you don't hold on to forever and a day. You do dispose of it after a set period of time. The advantage of disposing of a lens is you're effectively always wearing a new lens. So if the lens starts to deteriorate in any way, shape, or form, so the tear film deposits gunk on the lens, you're throwing it away before you can get any reaction to that. The daily disposable has been a huge advance in contact lenses and has really moved contact lenses into an area that lots of people can look at. So a daily disposable lens gives you the option of perhaps just a occasional wear, so a Saturday night or a Tuesday evening hockey game, or it gives you the option of wearing all day, every day. You can just decide. You don't have to worry about solutions and cases and, you know, did you leave the lens soaking in the same solution for a month and then you haul it out of the bottom of your gym bag and think, oh, should I really wear that now?
Or did you put the lenses in the case and then forget to fill it up?
Well, that's a self-destruct mode, so you're usually safe there. Usually the lenses are not wearable after that, so there's a safety margin there.
Yeah. So we've talked about the study that you're conducting right now with kids. Now, you must have other studies ongoing as well. What are some of those?
We're always looking at patients with dry eyes, so that's another area that we look at. So they tend to typically be the older population, so, you know, 40s and 50s and even older. We're actually looking at a study at the moment looking at patients with glaucoma, so we're looking at a particular type of comfort drop for patients with glaucoma. So that's typically even the more elderly population. We've got the children's studies, as we said. We've got other studies with other companies, different materials of lenses that we're looking at. So we're always, at any particular time in the year, we can be looking for children, we can be looking for young adults, we can be looking for elderly people. So what we encourage people to do is go online onto the CCLR website, register an interest for a study, and then when we've got something that's suitable for them, we call them up and see if they're interested.
What else can we learn if we go to the CCLR.ca website?
You can learn about the people that work there. You can learn about the studies we're doing, the background of the CCLR. There's also links to other information related to contact lenses, related to eye health, related to eye care.
All right. So when someone goes on CCLR.ca, they can look at all the studies and then just fill out an application right then and there?
Yep. So there's a participant registration section, and they just put their information in, the type of lenses they wear, if they're a current wearer, if they're not a wearer, their age, just their regular demographics. And then that goes into our central database. And then when we're looking for participants for studies, we search the database and contact the individuals.
And what sort of a time commitment is involved in being one of your studies?
It very much depends on the study. So we have some studies that the time commitment, for example, is 8 hours in a single day. It's a one-time, one-day study. They'll be in the morning. They stay all day. We provide them lunch. We take measurements throughout the day. 8 hours later, they're done. We do overnight studies where people wear contact lenses overnight. So the commitment is they actually sleep in the Center for Contact Lens Research in a private room, locked private room. They stay overnight. We take measurements first thing in the morning. Other studies, more typically, you'd come in for your initial visit, which would maybe take an hour and a half. We might see you a week later for 1 hour, a month later for 1 hour. So those are more typical studies. The time commitment is not huge.
My guest today on the show, Dr. Debbie Jones of the CCLR at the School of Optometry and Vision Science at the University of Waterloo, online at cclr.ca. And you can call them at 519-888-4539. More of Ask the Experts is coming up. Stick around right here on 570 News.
You've got questions. We've got answers. Welcome to Ask the Experts on 570 News. Advice and tips from the people who really know. Now here's your host, Dave Callender.
Welcome back to the show, and thank you so much for being with us. On the show today, Dr. Debbie Jones joins me of the CCLR at the School of Optometry and Vision Science at the University of Waterloo. It's located at 200 Columbia Street and online at cclr.ca. You can also call them at 519-888-4539. Our topic today, kids in contact lenses, and I think a lot of parents probably haven't thought about that before, whether or not it's a good idea, and today we're kind of learning it is. Let's talk a little bit just about children's eyesight for a moment. When should you first take your child in for an eye exam, and how often should they have one?
Well, my guess is most people here probably think, oh, you know, when they start school maybe. Actually, the recommendation is first eye exam for a child should be at 6 months of age. So as a wee little infant, we like to see them just to make sure that everything is ticking along the way it should and that the eyes are developing normally and that they're on the right track. And then we say the next eye examination should be around about 3 years of age, and then right before starting school. And then we encourage annual eye examinations thereafter. OHIP is very generous and pays for children's eye care in Ontario, so there's no financial commitment to a parent. All they have to do is schedule an appointment and book them in.
At 6 months for the first, I never would have guessed that. How do you even know if a six-month-old is responding properly?
Well, we look at exactly what you say, the responses. So the certain responses to visual clues that you look for in an infant. So do they smile back at you? Can they follow a bright toy when you move it? Do they actually take up fixation on something? Do the eyes look like they're working together? Is there any evidence of an eye turn? Do the eyes look healthy? And we can even measure the prescription of a six-month-old very accurately. So we want to make sure that they're where they typically should be for that age and they're not outside of the normal range.
Let's say we've got a 6 or 7 year old and we find out that there is a deficit. Would that child be ready for contact lenses right away, or should they have glasses first?
Anybody with contact lenses always needs backup glasses. So we recommend that the first stage is glasses, regular spectacles, get the child used to wearing them, and then consider contact lenses. But that could be within 3 to 6 months of the initial prescription. Depends on the child. If you've got a high-level hockey player, even at 7, and you suddenly say to them, okay, you need to wear glasses and you need to wrestle those under your helmet, they may be ready for contact lenses sooner than a kid that's just at school and puts them on just to read the blackboard.
Now, as I said earlier, when I was a child many, many, many years ago, I would have done anything not to have to wear glasses to school because there was this stigma attached to them. is there still a stigma attached to wearing glasses for kids?
Actually, not so much anymore. In fact, we struggle sometimes with kids that really want to wear glasses, and they try and fool us in the eye examination. They pretend they can't read the letters because glasses have become quite fashionable. There's lots of really cool frames out there. There's not the stigma that's attached with it anymore. And really, kids are extremely tolerant of all different types of devices, such as spectacles and different footwear that some kids have to have, even hearing aids, and they really just accept kids for who they are now.
Now, how would you say that the CCRLR fits in with the optometric community here in Kitchener-Waterloo? I guess what I'm saying is, you know, do we come to you instead of our regular eye doctor, or?
We work with our local optometrist, so we provide specific care for the time that a participant is on our study. It doesn't take the place of their usual visits to their optometrist. So we don't provide spectacle prescriptions or indeed contact lens prescriptions. At the end of a study, we don't actually give out contact lenses or give out a contact lens prescription. We invite the individual to go back to their own optometrist. So we work very closely. The people that we see are research participants. They're not our patients. They belong to their own optometrist, whether that be in the community or at the university clinic. They are the patient of that optometrist. They're a participant with us.
Let's talk a little bit more about your studies and how you conduct them. Once someone's signed up, they've registered, and you're about to do a new study, how is it you actually pick the people out of the registry?
Well, we pick them based on the demographics we're looking for, so it may be a particular prescription range or it may be an age range, and then we do what we call a screening appointment. So the first appointment is always like a baseline screening. We explain the study to the participant. They have an informed consent that they sign before we do anything at all, so they have to read, understand what the study is, understand what their potential commitment would be, and then we do our baseline data. So we have a look and make sure that they fit with what we're looking for. It may be a particular prescription range, or they may have to have dry eyes or something like that. If the participant is then eligible for the study, they get the option to enroll in the study. If they're not eligible or they decide really it's not for them, then we thank them for their time and there's no obligation to continue on.
Now, obviously, in any scientific study, the idea is to find out what works and what doesn't and what problems can pop up. If a problem does pop up during a study, how do you handle that?
It depends what the problem is. If it's a minor problem, it may be a question of just keeping the participant out of a lens for a couple of days and reviewing them. We watch our participants very closely. If there's any complication that arises, we watch them very closely. If it's not related to the study at all, so it could be completely unrelated, then we send them back to their local optometrist for care. So we don't take over that care. We actually encourage them to go back to their local optometrist.
Now, what if you've got someone who's in the study and they go, you know what, I'm not enjoying this. I don't want to do this anymore. Can people just drop out? How does that affect your results?
Absolutely. We don't enjoy it when people drop out because obviously it affects our numbers. We try and work with a participant if it's something about the study that's specific, maybe it's scheduling that's just not working for them. But if really at the end of the day they decide they just don't want to continue on, then they're absolutely entitled to drop out. Again, we remunerate them for the time they've spent in the study, and it doesn't affect future studies. So just because they dropped out of one, just because it didn't fit with their lifestyle at that time, doesn't mean they're not eligible for other studies later on.
You said remuneration, which will make most people's ears just sort of go up a little bit. So people actually are paid to be part of the study?
Correct, yes. So typically our rate is $20 an hour for participation in a study, and all study products are provided. So if it's a contact lens study, for the period of time that you're in the study, we provide the contact lenses, the solutions, anything else that is involved in the study. It might be eye drops or whatever else it is. For the period of time that the study is on, the participant is provided with everything that they need.
Are there any special challenges when you're doing a study with children as opposed to, you know, well-informed adults?
Actually, in some ways, it's often easier with children because they don't come with preformed opinions. They don't have necessarily the experience of contact lens wear that might have put them off or encouraged them. You know, they just come as they are. I mean, kids tend to say it as it is. they're often easier to work with than some adults.
Now, let's talk about the adults then. What are some of the questions you get from parents before they'll let their child participate in a study? What are they concerned about?
Concerned about the risks, always, and we make that very clear in the informed consent. So when we're doing a study with a child, we have two forms that get signed before we even enter the examination room. One is by the parents, the other is by the child. The one for the child is written in very clear children's language, what the expectation is of the child during the study, and the one for the parent goes into a little more detail about the study and risks and benefits. So the risks, the time commitment, sometimes there's concern, will the child be able to handle the lenses? And obviously as we go on through the appointment and we teach the child how to handle them, that concern is usually abated. But it's the usual questions that they would ask about themselves, sometimes a little more heightened awareness because it's about their child.
So you say kids just say what's on their mind, they tell it like it is. What do children think about contact lenses?
Generally, they really enjoy wearing them. Often say that it makes sports much easier. They really like the fact that they don't have to wear their glasses. Their friends, you know, like the fact that they're wearing contact lenses. Some of their friends show an interest. So they usually really enjoy wearing them.
And what do kids not like about contact lenses?
Sometimes having to not wear them, so having to take them out or, you know, have a rest from lenses if they've had a late night or if they've got a cold, if they're sick, we tell all contact lens patients, if you're sick, you don't wear your lenses. So, you know, they've got a bit of a cold and mum says you can't wear your lenses and they get a little upset about that. But usually there's not much they don't like about it.
So I shouldn't wear my contact lenses when I've got a cold?
You should definitely not wear your contact lenses when you've got a cold.
No one's ever told me that. Why didn't my doctor tell me that? What's the problem?
Well, the problem is when you've got a cold, basically you're full of germs. You've got all of that bacteria around and your nose and your eyes are all interconnected. There's those little pathways, you know, your eyes run, your nose run, your mouth sore. So you're just a little bit more at risk of an eye infection, for example. It's not uncommon to get pink eye when you've got a cold. And if you've got a conjunctivitis, you've got a bacterial infection of your eyes, you don't want to be wearing your contact lenses.
So when children finally get used to them and they decide that it's going to be part of their daily life, you mentioned we always have to have that backup pair of glasses.
Yeah.
How often should we be updating the glasses if, for the most part, we're wearing just contact lenses?
I would say that the prescription for glasses should never be more than one behind your contact lenses. So it's no good if your contact lenses are a -4 and your glasses are a -1, they're really of no use to you. You've got to have a pair of glasses that you can see in. So for a child, it's something that works at school, that you can still see the blackboard. For an adult or a 17, 18-year-old who's driving, you've got to be within driving standard. So that's where you need to pitch it.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, we're talking with Dr. Debbie Jones of the CCLR at the School of Optometry and Vision Science, the University of Waterloo. They're located at 200 Columbia Street, and you can learn more online at cclr.ca. You can also sign up as a participant for their studies. You can also call 519-888-4539. In particular today, we're talking about the current study with children in contact lenses. If you've ever thought that your child might like to try them out, now is the time to find out if it's right for them. 519-888-4539. We're going to take a short break and then we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts right here on 570 News.
570 News returns to Ask the Experts. Here's Dave Callender.
We're back. I'm Dave Callender. My guest is Dr. Debbie Jones of the CCLR at the School of Optometry and Vision Science at the University of Waterloo, which is located at 200 Columbia Street and online at cclr.ca. If you'd like to give them a call, it's 519-888-4539. Now, we've been talking throughout the hour about the current study involving children in contact lenses, and I know that not everyone listens right from the beginning, so we want to kind of recap a little bit about what's going on with this study. If a child has chosen to participate, what's the next step?
So the next step is we do a plethora of vision testing, none of which are particularly invasive. So it's sitting at a machine, looking at a flashing light, we push a button. So we take lots of measurements. We make sure the child is eligible, so they're in the right prescription range. For this particular study, they have to be non-contact lens wearers to start with. So it's children that have not had a previous experience with contact lenses. Some of our studies we do fit children who have already worn contact lenses. This particular one, they have to be a non-lens wearer. And then we take the measurements. It's almost just an extension of what a regular eye examination would look like. So the child shouldn't be worried that we're going to prod them or poke them with any kind of research equipment that's going to be anything different to what they've seen before. If they're eligible, we then fit them with the lenses. We teach them how to handle them. And the appointments for this particular study, once they've got the go-ahead and they're wearing lenses, we see them after 1 week. And then 3 weeks later, which is 1 month from when they were fit with lenses, then we see them at the 3 month, the 6 month, and the 12 month. So they're not in and out every week. It's just like a regular optometrist appointment that you might go to if you're a contact lens wearer at a similar time interval.
So this is a year-long study then?
It's actually a three-year study. So after the first year, we then see them at 18 months, 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years.
Okay. And during that 3 years, you supply all of the contact lenses. When 3 years is done, I'm betting a lot of them are going to say, well, I want to continue wearing contact lenses. How do you help them?
So what we do then is we provide the information to their chosen optometrist on what lenses they were wearing in the study. Now, I won't necessarily know the actual specific lens they wore, but I will know the parameters. I'll know that it was a daily disposable. I'll know the base curve, which is the steepness of the lens, and I'll know the size of the lens. So I pass that information on to their own optometrist, and then their optometrist takes that information and fits them with lenses of their choice. Typically, they follow the regime they've been wearing if they've been successful with that.
During this three-year study, what is it you're hoping to find?
What we're hoping to find is that children that wear the test lens for myopia control actually progress at a slower rate than children who wear a regular contact lens. So we're hoping to see that less children progress to a higher prescription, and we manage to keep that progression down to a slow rate.
And is there any initial evidence that's supporting that this could be the case?
There is initial evidence. There's been a lot of work done on animals, actually. Chicks and monkeys are the big two projects. We've done some chick work in the CCLR. We've not done any monkey work, although some of the children, sometimes you do wonder, but no, we have not done any monkey work. We have done chick work, and there is evidence to show that if you alter the way the light focuses on the peripheral retina, you will slow down the myopic progression.
That's great. What are some of the studies you have planned for the future?
We always have new studies starting. There's adult studies on different types of lenses. We do a lot of work on patients with dry eyes. So looking at different drops, different measurements, trying to work out why people get dry eyes. And that tends to be a problem in the older populations. One of the big studies we're looking at the moment, I think I touched on it a while ago, is a study on patients who are using glaucoma drops. We're not looking at a glaucoma drop ourselves, but we're looking at a drop that might make the eyes more comfortable for those, again, older patients who have glaucoma, who are being treated by their ophthalmologist, and who are getting symptoms of discomfort. So their eyes are a little bit itchy or a little bit sore. So any sort of discomfort, we're looking at a drop that may relieve some of that discomfort. So that's an ongoing study that we're recruiting for at the moment.
And I'll let the cat out of the bag. Actually, we'll be talking about that study next weekend on Ask the Experts. Now, you won't be with us.
Correct.
Who's going to be with us talking about the glaucoma study?
Somebody that I know quite well, another Jones, Dr. Lyndon Jones, will be in. He's actually the director of the CCLR, so he knows exactly what's going on all day, every day, and he'll be sharing some of the information on the glaucoma study with you.
Well, then we look forward to having him on the show next weekend. Let's kind of go through and recap what we've talked about today for people who may have joined us later in the show. Children in contact lenses. It's not an idea a lot of parents would have thought about. Is it catching on more?
It is catching on more, and I think the more children that wear contact lenses, the more children become aware of contact lenses. So the awareness increases, and children start to bug their parents. Johnny at school wears lenses, why can't I wear lenses? So there is a little bit more awareness, perhaps coming from the children as well as from the adults.
Now, for adults who already wear contact lenses, they may be thinking, well, contact lenses for kids, do they cost about the same?
They do. They cost exactly the same. It's not like kids' clothes being cheaper than adult clothes. They're the same size, same shape. They cost the same. And the cost is a factor, obviously, and it's a factor with kids. They're expensive things in general. They keep growing out of their shoes and growing out of their clothes. So do you want to add that extra cost in? Being part of a research study actually helps you with that a little bit, might give you the chance of getting your child into contact lenses. You're also helping the research community by being a participant, and you're not actually spending the money yourself on the contact lenses. So it may be a win-win on all sides.
Let's again go over risks and benefits.
The risks are minimal. I can't say they don't exist, because risks with contact lenses are there, but with modern materials, the risks, assuming you do as you're told, so golden rule, if you're sick, you don't wear your contact lenses. You don't sleep in your contact lenses. You don't even nap in your contact lenses. You don't swim in your contact lenses, unless you're going to take that pair out and then not wear it afterwards. So there's a few golden rules we go over. It's very unfortunate if you get a complication, but if you do, we have qualified people looking after the participants in the same way as an optometrist would. So if there is a problem, we deal with it and we look after you.
And why do kids want to wear contact lenses then?
It's been shown that there's an increase in self-esteem in some kids who wear contact lenses. They're certainly more convenient for sport and other perhaps social activities. Girls in particular who are getting into perhaps wanting to enhance their appearance a little bit, and they want to come out of their glasses. They like the option of contact lenses. It's just a nice option to have, even if you switch and change with your spectacles and don't necessarily wear contact lenses all the time.
And how long does it take for kids to get used to being contact lens wearers?
I would say typically within a week. So after the initial instruction where we teach them how to take them out and put them in, we typically say first couple of days, limit your wearing time to 6 to 8 hours, and then you can go 10 to 12 hours for a couple of days, and then by the end of the week, you should be able to wear them for most of your waking hours, maybe 14 hours a day. And generally, most kids are very, very tolerant and get used to it very quickly.
Now, we've already covered that myopia is fairly common. So again, would you tell the folks when they should start having their children's eyes tested?
Children's eyes should be examined 6 months of age, right as an infant. We need to make sure that everything's on the right track. And then about 2.5 to 3, and then school entry age and annually thereafter.
And as you said, the government takes care of that for you, so there's no reason not to go and have it done.
Exactly. So OHIP is very generous for children's eye care, and all eye care is covered under OHIP, so no reason to let cost be a factor.
And once again, the CCLR, Center for Contact Lens Research, you do more than just studies on contact lenses, correct?
We do. We do some studies on eye drops. We do studies on... For example, I mentioned dry eye, so we look at trying to understand the mechanism behind dry eye. Why do people suffer with dry eyes? Why did they get the symptoms? We also have a laboratory-based component where we look at some really basic science. We look at proteins in tear films. We look at deposits on contact lenses. So we do try and cover all aspects of eye research related really to the front of the eye. That's our area, anything that's really happening at the front of the eye.
So for everyone listening at home, if you're a parent and you think, wow, this is a great opportunity, or you suddenly have a 7-year-old who's been listening who goes, I want contact lenses, how do we go about signing up?
So all you need to do is go online, cclr.ca, register as a participant, put in your child's details, and then we will contact you. You can call Amanda McIntosh, who is our...
She does everything. I've talked to Amanda. I think she is the everything lady.
She is recruitment. That word was gone from me. So Amanda is our recruitment. She understands exactly what's going on with the studies. She can help you. You can call her directly. But go online. It's all there for you.
All right. The website to go to, again, is cclr.ca. You can learn more and sign up. You can also call 519 519- 888-4539. My guest today, Dr. Debbie Jones of the CCLR at the School of Optometry and Vision Science at the University of Waterloo, which is physically located at 200 Columbia Street. I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
And I wish you much success with your study.
Thank you very much.
Everyone, get involved. Again, that's cclr.ca. Thank you for listening to another edition of Ask the Experts right here on 570 News.